everybody. Amen. Let's just praise God how great He is. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer tonight. So good to see each and every one of you. Just want to welcome you and welcome those that are watching on the live feed. I know we have a lot of prayer requests tonight. So let's start here in the congregation. Anyone on my right side have a spoken prayer request tonight, Sister Brenda?
Mm-hmm. And she wants the church. They found a spot on the left side of her skull and don't know what it is yet, so but she goes back Friday and she wanted the church to still remember her and
absolutely. I know she's been in a lot of prayers with what she's been going through. Absolutely we will. Sister Susan? Absolutely. Anyone, it's Miss Lori. Praise God.
She's still not 100%.
We will definitely lift her up in our prayers. Sister Autumn. Oh, okay. Absolutely. Anyone else on my right side with a spoken prayer request tonight? Goodness, all right. Anyone on the left side this evening with a spoken prayer request? Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Most definitely. Anyone else on the left side? Sister Linda, your brother?
My brother is not awesome. He was diagnosed. He went to the doctor yesterday. He's been sick last week. Just with what he thought was a sinus infection. And they said he's going to be safe.
Okay. We'll definitely lift him up. Yes, sir. Sister Wendy? Absolutely. Absolutely. Anyone else? In the congregation? Yes, Brother Les, absolutely. We'll definitely keep him in our prayers. All right, anyone up on the roster? Brother? Oh, I'm sorry, did I miss you?
Brother Tom and Sister Lisa's mom and our
stepmom
and father, too, I think.
Okay, absolutely.
I remember that. I think they had tested positive. If I read the post right.
Right, absolutely. Did I see another hand? Anyone else? All righty, and as we pray, there's so many spoken prayer requests, so many written. I know those of us that get the flash messages, Facebook, all the other situations. I just want to reach out to anyone that's watching live, or even if you watch this at a later date, if you'll post a prayer request, we'll pick it up and we'll be glad to pray for you. Also, we want to pray for, you know, all those that are with the sickness and all that's still going on, and also our country. So much upheaval. We know God knows how to handle it, but we need to turn all of our attention on Him. And let Him be the one to calm things and to give us peace. And let us live with a life that, you know, we're all children of God. May we not see anything in them except His light that shines through. Praise the Lord. All righty. Brother Eddie, would you lead us in prayer this evening, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, for the privilege and honor to come into the house of worship tonight. Father, we're thankful for those who are gathered here tonight. Father, we pray the leadership of the Holy Ghost tonight.
Yes, Lord.
Father, there's so many who stand in need of prayer tonight, God. Each and every spoken request tonight, every hand that was raised, God, you see every situation. Father, we place them into your hands tonight, asking you, Lord, to promote healing, God, and deliverance into their lives, God, and into their bodies. We ask you to bless those who are sick at home, and Lord, and live streaming tonight, I pray, God, that they'll be able to feel your spirit, feel your healing hand.
Oh,
God,
yes.
We do ask, Lord, that you touch our land, heal our land. God, I pray, Lord, that you would calm the storm. God, we know, Lord, that you can do miracles, and we pray tonight in one mind and one accord, God, that you'll take charge of the situation. Now just lead us and guide us in this service tonight. God, let every word spoken, every song sung be for your honor, for your glory. Help us to be in one mind and one accord tonight as we gather to offer up praise and worship unto you. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name.
Amen. Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise the Lord. If you would, while you're standing, turn to page 390. There's power in the blood. Praise God. We just want to lift Him up tonight. Just honor Him. Praise the Lord.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood, amen. There is power. precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Since things are lost in His life-giving flow, there's wonderful power in the blood.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated if you can. I want to just reflect on something just for a minute. I was told this evening something powerful when if someone was going through one of those days and happened to look outside and it seemed even gloomy looking out. But then there was that one ray of light that was shining through, that special moment just to remind us. And that's what God does for us. There's power in that blood, that cleansing power. And once we receive Him and know that we're not alone, that He is our strength, not us. It's not about us, it's all about Him. He'll carry us through all these prayer requests, all the special needs here, those waiting on test results, those that have been given results that you wonder, what are we going to do next? And then there's the financial and all the other things with the businesses and all being upheaval, and then things that you don't even want to look at on the news anymore with so much unrest. But we know there is a God. He is the great I Am, and He's given us Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, our Redeemer. And if we live with that and know that there's power in that blood and that it says, would you do daily what He would have us to do? Would we praise His name and worship Him through every trial and every storm and just know how great He is? All right, I'll stop. I just want to worship the Lord tonight. Now, I'm not going to stop him, you know, bragging on Him or talking about my Lord, but if you know what, I know what He's brought me through. And I know each and every one of us can testify the same thing. God is great. God is great. We're going to go ahead and take up our evening offerings. I don't have any announcements up here, but with everything going on, if at all possible, and I know everybody's in a different situation with their jobs and financially, but let's don't forget the food closet. Let's don't forget the needs of those that need it. And if you have an opportunity and you could donate something, the dry goods is very much welcome. Or if you just want to donate a dollar or two monetarily to help buy the things that need to be replaced, there's stuff that's perishable. Please don't forget the food closet. It's a wonderful ministry, and there's other ministries going forward too. So let's stay in prayer. And I want to thank each and every one of you again for a Wednesday night crowd. It looks good to see each and every one of you. Praise God. Brother Thomas, would you mind asking the Lord to bless our offering, please? Yes, Lord. Amen. going to call on a couple of special singers tonight. Sister Susan, Sister Linda, if you'd come after her. And Brother and Sister Morrow, do y'all have a song for us tonight?
No.
Dear Lord, I'll be a witness if you will help my weakness. I know that I'm not worthy, Lord, of thee. My eyes of faith are fixed upon the cross of Calvary.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Is this thing on? Because I can't hear me up here, but that's all right. We'll try me. Y'all know this song as well as I do. We're going to try to work our way through it. It's been a while since I sang. Y'all can all help me sing it. This song, The Lighthouse, has a great meaning to it. If you listen to the words and you think about it just as is, it serves a great purpose for the ships. But one of those ships was me one day. You know, you, us. You know, so y'all help me sing this song, The Lighthouse. There's a lighthouse on the hillside that overlooks life's seas. When I'm tossed this sense, it sends out a light that I might see. And the light that shines in darkness now will safely lead me o'er. And if it wasn't for that old lighthouse, my ship would sail no more. Everybody's that lives around me says tear that lighthouse down. You know the big ships don't sail this way anymore. There's no use in me hanging round. And when my mind goes back to that stormy night, when just in time I saw the light, yes, the light to that old lighthouse that stands up there on a hill. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. For Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin He has shown His light around me, that I could clearly see. And if it wasn't for the lighthouse,
tell me,
where would this ship be? If not for the lighthouse, tell me, where would this ship be?
Stay there, Keith, and let's do little David.
The battle's not mine,
said little David.
Lord, it's thine,
I'm in your favor.
I've given it all to you. I knew not what to do, and I'm so glad
you
let me see. You're really all that I need, for the battle's not mine. I give it to you, Lord, it's thine. Little David, oh so small, Goliath, oh so tall, odds were just too high, poor little David. So he shook off all of his load, for with the power of God he was clothed. He said, the battle's not mine, I give it to you, Lord, it's thine. The battle's not mine, said little David. Lord, it's thine, I'm in your favor. I've given it all to you. I knew not what to do, and I'm so glad you let me see. You're really all that I need, for the battle's not mine. I give it to you, Lord, it's thine. Now, little David, unafraid, before the giant he stood that day, seems to be the end for little David. Just like the lion and the bear he stood, oh, Goliath will come down too, for the battle's not mine, I give it to you, Lord, it's thine. Now little David, he stood tall, now Goliath seems so small. Sweet victory had rang for little David, cause he gave the battle to one. With the record for getting things done, he said, the battle's not mine, I give it to you, Lord, it's thine. The battle's not mine, said little David. Lord, it's thine, I'm in your favor. I've given it all to you. I knew not what to do, and I'm so glad you let me see. You're really all that I need, for the battle's not mine, I give it to you, Lord, it's thine. For the battle's not mine, I give it to you.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Aren't we glad the battle's not ours? Amen. Amen. It belongs to the Lord. Sometimes it's hard for us to release it to Him, but if we'll learn to do that, just put it in His hands, how many knows that He'll take care of every situation, every battle that we've ever will have to face or the ones that come down the road? Whatever it is, God is able. Amen. Do you love the Lord tonight with all your heart, Hallelujah. Your mind, your soul, your body? Just give Him praise. Amen. Let's welcome those. We got some visitors who are here for the very first time, so let's let them know how welcome they are, how glad we are that they came to worship the Lord with us tonight. Praise God. You have your Bibles tonight. We're going to go to the book of Jeremiah to bring the topic text tonight, and we're going to be doing some reading as well. You know, with the circumstances that are surrounding the world today and the nations and the cities, there is no wonder that the prophets prophesied and told the priests to weep from the porch into the altar. Understandably so, that was for Jerusalem and for Israel at that particular time, But how many knows that today is a type and shadow of how that we as a nation, we as a people seemingly have placed God on the back burner, so to speak, and not really reverence God as we should. And I'm talking in general. I'm not talking about every individual. Thank God there's a remnant. Thank God he's still got a people. Thank God there's still a church. Amen. Had it not been for the prayers of the church, there's no telling what kind of condition this world would be in. But many have lost sight and lost focus of what it is to worship and reverence God and to be obedient unto him. So we're going to bring some scripture tonight to our attention and just pray that God will lead us and guide us. If you have your Bibles, go with us to the book of Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse number 11. Jeremiah the prophet, chapter number 2, verse number 11. It's in the form of a question. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Can we pray? And dear Heavenly Father, we come tonight, God, very humbly to ask your touch, your anointing, your healing. We ask you, God, to be with us in this service tonight. God, I pray, Lord, that you would anoint these lips of clay. God, is just a vessel. God, that the Holy Spirit would speak to us tonight, God. I pray that you would comfort us. I pray, God, that you would strengthen us during these times of troubles and trials. Pray, God, that you would reach there, Lord, and touch those who are sick and those who are afflicted tonight. God, we know that you are the healer. We know that you are the deliverer. And as David says, you are the lifter up of our head. Father, I pray tonight, God, that you'll just come down in a mighty way. Let us feel your holy anointing, and we'll give you praise and honor and glory. We ask it in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. First of all, I just want to say thank you, amen, for coming tonight on a Wednesday. We'll get this kind of adjusted here in just a second. I know it's not the easiest thing to do to get ready and come on a Wednesday night, but I appreciate the effort that you put forth tonight, and may God bless you for that. As I said, I'm going to do something tonight probably that's just a little out of the ordinary. I plan to do more reading than talking, probably more letting the Word of God speak to us rather than me actually preach the Word. There are situations that happen and arise in our lives sometimes that seem like all that we can do is just say, Lord, we just give it to you. We just turn it over to you. Father, and I need you to touch. I need you to make intercession. And sometimes we feel like just getting out of the way and let God speak to our hearts and speak to us. I'm so thankful for the prayers that are going up. I'm so thankful for those who are holding fast, amen, to the power of God and having faith in the Lord that never fails. But I don't have to remind you, and I don't have to tell you, that our nation is in a heap of trouble. There is devastation. There is unrest. There is raging wars, so to speak, going on within nations, within families, within cities, and we really need God to intercede. And God will intercede if the people will turn to him and have an open heart and an open mind. I want to go back to verses number 5 and pick up there in the second chapter of Jeremiah and then bring it through verse number 9, if I may. And then we're going to go over to the New Testament tonight because I believe that God has a word for us. I believe God has a word for his church. I believe he has instruction for us. And I believe he wants to let us know that he is going to take care of us. He is going to make a way even when there seemeth not a way. Beginning with verse number 5. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me and have walked after vanity and are become vain? Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt? And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. The priests said not, where is the Lord? And they that handled the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, and walked after things
that do not profit. If you and I were not Bible readers and knew where that particular verse came from and what was going on in that time that Jeremiah, who was known as the weeping prophet, was writing and prophesying to the children of Israel and letting them know what God's direction was in their life and how that they had become a backslidden nation and how that they had turned their reverence from God to idolatry and begin to even worship after Baal, after God had told them time and time again, thou shalt have no other God before me. You would almost think that we're reading an excerpt from today's society, from current events that are happening in the world today, because many, many people today have turned their face from God and turned it to other things. We've seen over a period of time, it hadn't come on drastically, it hasn't come over from one day to the next, but it's been a subtle change that we've seen in generation from generation. We've often said and have heard for a long time that what one generation allows becomes a norm for the next generation. And we need to dwell on that, and we need to think that. You know, we're quick to blame other folks, but what we have allowed to happen becomes the norm in this generation. And God forbid, if change doesn't take place, imagine what the next generation is going to be subjected to. But you know, even with all of this situation, even all of this turmoil and all of this strife, we know that there is an answer, and that answer is found in worshiping and glorifying and praising God. I want us to turn our attention tonight, if we can, to the book of Romans. Sister Karen, our daughter, posted something this week. Many of you probably saw that and followed that. She basically said, and I'm paraphrasing now, that when we need answers, we often turn to different sources, different people, different things to try to get some relief, try to get some peace. And a lot of us have done that. We've been wringing our hands, and we've been talking, and we've been trying to find out, you know, what can we do to correct this situation. And she said that the Lord just laid it on her heart to turn to the Bible. And can I tell you tonight, that's the best source that I can tell you tonight, is to turn to the Word of God. The Word of God is not going to change for me. It's not going to change for you. Amen. It's going to be precept upon precept, line upon line. Amen. It's going to be statutes and precepts that we as a children of God need to understand and we need to follow. So thank God that the Word is there for us. Many, many times we use the Bible almost as a cafeteria plan, and we seem to hunt and choose and pick and choose what we want to hear. Maybe some comforting verses. And I thought about tonight as I was praying, I thought about, Lord, give me some comforting words to the congregation. Give me some things that will produce peace and safety into their hearts and in their minds. And you know, sometimes, you know, we just got to face reality. We got to face reality. No man can fix this situation. And that's what the world is looking for. They're looking for a man. They're looking for a program. They're looking for some political thing to fix this. But, you know, I believe with all of my heart, the Word of God and His ability is the only thing that's going to fix the situation that we are in. And we've got to admit, we brought a lot of this on ourselves. And when I say we, I'm talking about the nation as a whole. But in Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse number 9, if ever there were words that needed to be echoed in the day and hour that you and I are living in, these are some of the words. These are words that are found in the Bible. These are not my words. These are not some historian's words. But these are the words that were anointed by God as men began to write as they was moved on by the Holy Ghost. In the 12th chapter of the book of Romans, beginning with verse number 9, let love be without dissimulation. In other words, let love be genuine and sincere. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Again, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one towards another. mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Again, may I repeat, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. These words were not just written during the recent rage of all the civil unrest that is happening in the world today. These words have been in the Word of God from the very beginning when they were written there as the Apostle Paul began to address the Romans there. And there was spiritual and civil unrest in that day and hour. But how many knows God has a plan? And God has a plan of action. And God has ways that we're supposed to keep and we're supposed to honor. And the very time that we start slipping from those precepts, the very time that we start disregarding what the Word of God says, and we begin to listen what man says, and we begin to adopt our own ideas and have our own statute of limitations, or our own statute of commandments and laws, this is where we get into the biggest trouble. The Bible is what we need to refer to. The Bible is what we need to live by. The Bible is what lets us know, amen, how that we are to conduct ourselves. And love is so much a part of God's Word. We need to understand how to love one another, how to pray for one another, and conduct ourselves, amen, in all these situations that arise in the world. Now I'm going to read something to you in the verse number chapter number 13. I shared this with Sister Penny and Sister Brenda, a part of it. But it's been really, really burning in my heart and in my soul. Because how many knows that whatever the Bible says, that's what we have to go by? I said, what the Bible says, that's what we need to go by. Not what some person says or what somebody says or what some organization says, but we as children of God and we're born again Christians need to understand that we need to go by what the Bible says. I want to read verse 1 and 2. And then I've got here, my Bible also gives the King James Amplified Version. And I want you to listen to this because it really, really struck me. It's led in verse number 1 of the 13th chapter, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Let me read the Amplified Version of the King James. It says, let every person be loyally subject to the governing civil authorities, for there is no authority except from God, by His permission, by His sanction, and those that exist do so by God's appointment. It's not saying that God, that the civil power supersedes God, but it says God supersedes all of that, but He's placed this in order. Therefore, he who resists and sets himself up against the authorities resists what God has appointed and arranged in divine order. And those who resist will bring down judgment upon themselves, receiving the penalty due them. Now listen how specific it gets. For civil authorities are not a terror to people of good conduct. Can I say that again? For civil authorities are not a terror to people of good conduct, but to those of bad behavior. When would you have no dread of him who is an authority? Then do what is right, and you will receive his approval and commendation. Not condemnation, but commendation. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, you should dread him, and if be afraid, for he does not bear and wear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant to execute his wrath punishment, vengeance, on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be subject not only to avoid God's wrath and escape punishment, but also as a matter of principle and for the sake of conscience. For this same reason, this is going to strike us. For the same reason you pay taxes. In other words, for this cause you pay tribute, which is basically taxes, for the civil authorities or official servants under God devoting themselves to attending to this very service. Render all to all men their dues. Pay taxes to whom taxes are due. Revenue to whom revenue is due. Respect to whom respect is due. And honor unto whom honor is due. Now I want to go back and read this actually at the way it is in the King James Version. That was just a little bit more detail. But again, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. How many knows there's a higher power we got to answer to? There is a higher power than all of the civil unrest that is in the world today. But again, God through his word expects and tells us that we're supposed to obey the laws of the land. We're supposed to do right. We're supposed to be of good behavior. In fact, Christians ought to be of the best behavior. All right? For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. There's no way to water down, and nor does it need to be watered down, the word of God. But it is so straightforward, it is so true, it is so vital that people understand that they are to abide by the laws of the land. Now, are there bad actors and bad apples in authority? Sure they are. But we're not supposed to take the law into our own hands to correct that. There is an ordinance set in place that God himself has ordained, amen, that we're supposed to let the law of the land take care of those situations. So where has it gotten gray? Where has it gotten this fuzziness? You know, it hadn't come from the word of God, because the word of God is true. It is steadfast. It is unmovable. It is the same yesterday and today and forevermore. So seemingly, people are not paying attention to the word of God like they need to pay attention to the word of God. Let me read on. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. Where is the conscience of mankind today? It's terrible, the things that we're seeing. You know, if you're born again, your conscience should not let you be able to indulge in things that are happening in this world. And the bitterness and the hatred, and that's from both sides and from seemingly everybody. You know, the church is right now really needs to shine. The church really needs to step up and understand, you know, there's things, there's guidelines, there's laws that we must adhere to. But there's also an overwhelming love that we need to have for mankind. We need to pray, amen, for every single person involved in all of this. Pray for them really, really hard that God will change their heart and change their minds and bring them to an altar of repentance. Amen. Because God, I believe, is the only answer to this mess that seemingly is raging in our land. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Amen. Those are the things that the Word of God has entrusted us to do and instructed us to do that we must live by. I just wanted to read that to you tonight and wanted to share that with you. And now I want us to do something. The Lord has really laid something on my heart. And I thank God that He still speaks to us during this time of turmoil. How many is thankful that you can have the voice of God speaking to your heart during all of this civil unrest and all of the things that are going on in the land today? And it almost gets to be an unbearable thing. You don't even want to hear of it anymore. You don't even want to see it on television. But you know what? It's a reality. There's things going on that we really, really need to pray that God will intercede and intervene and calm the storm, amen, and calm the raging anger and all that's out there in the world today. So naturally, we need to pray. there is not a person, a man of God, a woman of God that I've seen or heard from lately that hasn't talked about we need to pray for our nation. Can you say amen? We certainly need to pray for our nation. But you know, I'm a firm believer in specific prayers as well. As we pray for our nation, which is a general prayer, we pray for the entire nation. And God just spoke to me today and laid it upon my heart, or whatever how you want to call it, just impressed me in my mind that we need to pray specific prayers for specific cities in our nation. There's a lot of cities, amen, that's really, really suffering. And you know, we see what's going on, but we don't see behind the walls, all of the innocent people that are being affected and the innocent lives that are being touched. And we're seeing, even as large a group as it is, there's a much larger group out there that are innocent people, that are families that are fearful to even get out on the streets. And my heart goes out to those people. You know, if you look at the news and you see the news, you would think the whole world is in disarray and everybody is participating. But that's not the case. As big as it is, it's still a minority. The majority of the people are law-abiding citizens trying to stay safe in their home and trying to abide by the law and fearful for their very life and their property. We need to pray for the civil unrest, but we also need to pray for those precious families that are shut in, those precious families that are afraid to get out on the street tonight. Can you imagine being afraid to even get out and go down the street to your neighborhood grocery store or to the drugstore or whatever? And many, many people in those cities did not have the opportunity or the means to have a car or to own a car. The only places they could shop was right there in their community, and their communities are being destroyed. So God really, really, really laid on my heart that we need to pray. And I'm not going to tell you which city to pray for. I'm just going to leave that up to you. But, you know, it's mostly in the major cities that we see in the nation. But let me tell you something, folks. It's spreading out into the suburbs as well. So as we pray for our own city and our own county and our own surrounding areas, let us get a city on our heart. As we continue to pray for the nation, truly, but I want us to get a particular city in our heart and pray for that city. You know, pray for those that are not being shown, those that are, as I said, those that are fearful for their very life. Pray that God would just protect them and let His guardian angels, and I believe in guardian angels. I believe that God can send His guardian angels around. We know that from the prophet, amen, when they came and surrounded the house, and he sent his servant out, and he said, "Alas, my master, what are we going to do?" He said, "Go back and look again." And then he looked, and there was a complete circle of angels with flaming swords around the enemy. Amen. You know, you couldn't see them with the naked eye, but thank God, I believe with all of my heart that we can pray protection, and we can pray God's power to protect those that are in harm's way. So as we prepare to dismiss tonight, I know it's been different. I know it's been unusual, but can I tell you that sometimes I don't have the words to encourage you. I don't have the words to give you peace. I don't have the whatever it is to just say, you know, just get it all out of your heart and all out of your mind. We've tried. We've asked the Lord to give us stirring messages. We've asked the Lord to give us something to focus on and not look at the things of the world. But folks, you know, for real, we are in reality in a bad situation. So as I think it was God, divine spirit of God, that spoke to Karen and told her, you know what, just turn to the Bible. Just turn to the Word, because I don't want to say how many people followed that, but a lot of people were liking that and following that. And that made me get into the Word of God and see. And you know what, take it and read it. Research it and see what God's ordinances are. And God has a way, and we need to be submissive and obedient to His way. And God has an answer. And I believe if we as a church begin to bind together and really, really, really pray, God's will be done. We'll see a transformation. We'll see things turn around. Amen. And hopefully, out of all of this mess, souls will be won to Christ. Amen. Souls will be saved. The best thing that could ever come out of this is a revival fire where people could come to the knowledge of Christ and accept Him as both Lord and Savior into their life. So if that happens, then we give God the glory and honor for that. So as we prepare to dismiss tonight, I want you to be thinking about a city that you can pray for. And you see them all on the news each and every night, that there's cities that need to be prayed for. So we pray that God will lay those on your heart, and we'll pray one for another. So would you stand tonight, and let's pray before we dismiss. Let's just join together and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come again to love You and to thank You, God, for Your goodness, Your grace, and Your mercy. Father, we thank You for Your word of instruction. God, help us, Lord, to know what Your word tells us in these times, God, of trouble and trials. Father, I pray, God, that we can lean upon You. We can trust in Your word. We can trust in Your power. And God, we pray for protection for our families. We pray for protection of our nation, God, and I pray, Lord, that You would just intercede, God, and change hearts and change minds tonight, God, that we'll be submissive and obedient and willing, God, to Your will. Father, I pray for those who are sick. I pray for those who are afflicted tonight. God, let Your healing power touch and minister them in a mighty way. And we'll look to You, Lord, and give You all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Before we dismiss, if anyone needs prayer tonight, please come forward. We'll pray with you or pray for you if you have a sickness or affliction, or if you want to stand in on behalf of anyone else. Is there anybody tonight? Sister Kathy Bennett. Sister Kathy, as many of you know, was battling cancer. God has already given her victory one time, and cancer went into remission, but it's come back, and it's come back with vengeance. So let's pray tonight that that same God would just touch and heal her. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we come tonight, God, on behalf of Sister Kathy Bennett. Father, praying, God, that You would touch and heal and anoint her, God, through the faith of Sister Brenda.